the Public News Service Daily Newscast for Thursday, January the 25th, 2018. I'm Mike Clifford. After the Larry Nassar scandal, experts weigh in on moving forward beyond the world of sports. Also, on our nationwide rundown, conservative union members slam what they term a union-busting bill, and a bill pending in New England to protect marijuana users. First, our top story, President Trump said Wednesday he was willing and eager to be interviewed by special counsel Robert Mueller. The New York Times quotes Trump as saying, "I'm looking forward to it, actually. Here's the story just so you understand. There's been no collusion whatsoever, no obstruction whatsoever. I'm looking forward to it." The Times reports that Trump suggested his efforts to defend himself had been unfairly misinterpreted. "You fight back," he said, and such a response is characterized as, "Oh, it's obstruction." Disgraced Michigan State University Dr. Larry Nassar was sentenced to 175 years in prison this week for sexually assaulting dozens of athletes in his care. One psychologist suggests the case speaks to a much bigger cultural crisis.
Many of the 156 women who came forward to speak at Nassar's sentencing say their complaints about him were ignored for years. Dr. Eddie O'Connor is a Grand Rapids-based clinical and sports psychologist, and he says while the safety of the athlete should always be the number one priority for coaches, trainers, parents, and all adults involved, the Nassar scandal shows how far we still have to go when it comes to truly listening.
There's fear, there's people's jobs, there's money, and there's also the idea that we don't want to believe such horrible things can happen. So I think there's a fair amount of psychological denial on the part of some people.
The Michigan House of Representatives has passed a resolution calling on MSU President Lou Anna Simon to step down, joining a growing chorus expressing disappointment and anger over missed opportunities to stop Nassar and protect students. I'm Mona Shand reporting.
And the Florida House is expected to vote today on a proposal that would decertify a public union if its voluntary dues-paying membership falls below 50%. More on the story from Tramell Gomes.
Republican Representative Scott Plakin of Longwood has been trying for several years to pass a measure like House Bill 25 that opponents say would only lead to the weakening of labor unions. Brody Hughes heads up the Daytona local of the International Union of Police Associations. He says the bill should face bipartisan opposition because it disrupts workers' ability to provide a foundation for their families.
I personally am a Republican and a union leader. That's probably an oxymoron to many to say that, but you know, I think it's important that Republicans that are supporting this bill take a really hard look at this and realize that unions provide a voice for people. It provides job stability.
Plakin says his bill promotes transparency because rank-and-file workers are being represented without consent. The bill is expected to pass the House again as it did in 2017, but its fate in the Senate, with three committees remaining, is uncertain.
By the way, that bill exempts police, firefighters, and correctional unions from the requirements, but members of those unions say they are standing in opposition to the bill. 1,200 veterans, more than 1,000 of them former officers, calling on the White House now to better protect national monuments and other public lands. Dan Hyman reports.
The vets have signed a letter to President Donald Trump and Interior Secretary Ryan Zinke, pressing them to maintain the boundaries and protections of public lands currently under review. Matt Kearns graduated from the Coast Guard Academy, then spent 5 years stopping cocaine shipments off the coast of South America and protecting against terrorism in the Pacific. He describes the quiet and pristine landscapes of these wildernesses as the best of America.
We took an oath to defend the Constitution and protect the country. When I think of America, I think of the Grand Canyon and the Redwoods and the mountains and rivers of West Virginia.
Zinke argues that national monuments named by previous administrations were too big, and slashing their size would allow for more growth by mineral and energy companies.
Zinke has insisted that mining played no role in shrinking the Bears Ears Park. Those and other boundary changes are likely to be in court for years. And finally, Andrea Sears tells us a bill's been introduced in the Massachusetts legislature to keep those who follow the Bay State's law on marijuana use from being turned over to federal authorities.
The bill, called an act relative to refusal of complicity, would prohibit local and state officials from using state resources to assist federal agents in the prosecution of individuals who are following the Commonwealth's marijuana laws unless they have a warrant. The issue was drawn into the spotlight when U.S. Attorney General Jeff Sessions announced he is rescinding the Obama administration policy of not interfering in states that have legalized medical or recreational marijuana. According to Jolene Foreman with the Drug Policy Alliance, the bill reinforces the state's 10th Amendment protections.
State law enforcement officials and government actors cannot be compelled by the federal government to pass laws that are consistent with federal law or to enforce federal laws.
Other states, such as California, have taken similar actions. The Justice Department does have the authority to enforce federal laws within the states, but Foreman points out that bringing in federal agents to enforce marijuana laws would take manpower and would run counter to the will of voters who approved legislation.
Earlier this month, the New Hampshire House gave preliminary approval to a bill allowing adults to possess up to an ounce of marijuana. I'm Mike Clifford for Public News Service, member and listener supported, and online at publicnewsservice.org.